please turn with me in your Bibles
to Mark chapter 1. We will be focusing on Mark 1, beginning in verse 40. Note, print in your bulletin, it says verse 35. We'll be coming back to 35 later on during our series to talk about Jesus' prayer life. Mark 1, beginning in verse 40. But while you're turning there, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Lord, we open up your word and we ask that you would send your spirit to blow onto the dead and cold hearts that we have and our minds that are wandering. You know us, but you have brought us here to be fed by you, to be shocked by you. And Lord, we ask that you would take the scales off our eyes that we may see Jesus as he truly is, as your word puts him forth to be, and so that we might believe in him, we might run to him. Lord Jesus, be glorified and honored during this sermon and during this whole service. In your name, amen. Begin in verse 40 of Mark 1. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priests, and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. So many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralytic, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the mat that paralyzed man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there, thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat, and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone. And they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." What you and I think about Jesus Christ will shape the way we live. It will shape the way we think of ourselves. And it will shape the way you think and interact with the world. It is everything as a Christian. And as I was studying this passage this week, I was shocked at how many lies I believed about Jesus. Subtle lies that I believed about the person of Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ is far more wonderful. He is far more loving. He's far more radically engaged in ministry than I ever imagined. And I think this is especially important for Bible belters like us. For people who are so familiar with Jesus, because Jesus is not religious. Religious in the sense of this nice, detached, superficial thing we call religion in the South. He's not that. And so prepare to be shocked by the real Jesus. Because folks, I have and you have believed lies about Jesus. I want us to be confronted with the lies that we've believed about Jesus. Two lies, and then a so what. First lie. The lie that we subtly believe is one, that Jesus is unwilling. As a religious figure, Jesus is an unwilling person. Unwilling to help, unwilling to cleanse. Because religious people are. Secondly, Jesus is unapproachable. That's the second lie. Two lies. He is unwilling. He is unapproachable. And then so what? Let's look at the first lie that we believe. Look at verse 40 with me. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." Immediately, the leprosy left him and he was cured. Leprosy. Are familiar with leprosy, and especially in the Gospels, Jesus is often seen with lepers. Leprosy, the term leprosy is used to describe a multitude of skin diseases in the New Testament that were disfiguring, that were disgusting. Leprosy kept you out of the ceremonial life of Israel. You were an outcast. And in some cases, you had to walk around telling everyone, "Unclean, unclean, a leper's around here." The way a leper felt is probably the way many people have felt with AIDS. There's someone who is an object of fear and disgust at the same time. So you get in your mind who this guy is, how he probably thought of himself and how he interacted with the world. He was an outcast. He was a leper. He was an object of fear and disgust. He was a freak. And he asked Jesus, "If you are willing." Why do you think he asked that question? Do you know why he asked that question? Because rabbis are not supposed to be willing to touch an object of fear and disgust. Most rabbis, in fact, all rabbis, like Jesus, that's what Jesus was, they call him rabbi. They wouldn't touch someone like him with a 10-foot pole. Because to touch a leper meant that you were totally detached from the ceremonial life of Israel. That is, your very vocation was in jeopardy if you touched someone like this. And so you didn't touch him. If you are willing, that's why he asked him that question. He asked him that question because he's not supposed to be willing, because no one else is willing in Jesus' shoes. The word willing here means if you want to, if you desire to. That word means if it's your pleasure, if you would do me the pleasure, if you're willing to, if you want to. He's asking that question. Because the leper knows that Jesus is able to cleanse him. He knows that he can. How does he know that? Because news about Jesus is spreading like wildfire. Jesus Christ is front page news right now in Galilee and all around the region. Everyone knows that he is healing people like crazy. And people are coming to him with lifelong illnesses and people who've been possessed by demons. And he knows Jesus has the ability to cleanse me. The question is he willing? I know you can, but do you want to? Because lepers, they're exceptions to the rules, right? You can come to Jesus and have some other malady, some other sickness, but a leper, he's someone that's on the outskirts. Of course he would ask if you're willing. Folks, central to the fallen human condition is the belief that we are special cases. That in some way, shape, or form, all of us feel as though there is some part of us that is unlike anyone else and that is especially messed up, and we feel like lemons. And that's why this story is so shocking. Because you've thought to yourself, I know you're able to. I see what you do in other people's lives, but are you willing to cleanse me? Here's the real Jesus. You want to hear the real Jesus? Look at verse 41. These are those little passages that we skip over quickly a lot of times. He was filled with compassion. That word compassion is a deep word. This is a word that expresses deep emotion, gut emotion of love and affection. You can see it on someone's face and in how they act. You see compassion. And that is what Mark is saying that Jesus had. How was he able to say that? Because as I said earlier, Peter is the disciple behind this gospel. Peter is with Jesus at this very moment when this man asks Jesus, if you're willing. And he's looking at Jesus, and he sees a Jesus that many of us do not see when we think of Jesus. Do you have the cold, detached, circa 1975 Jesus that walks around like an android in your mind? You know what this Jesus is like? Like a parent. Parents, the compassion you feel when your child is hurt, either physically or emotionally, you can't even stop it. It's from your guts, and it shapes you. It changes the way you act. You move toward them as you hear them cry out. You move toward them, and you're filled with compassion. I want you to stop for a second. I want you to hold up how you often think of Jesus, if you think of Jesus. And then I want you to think of Jesus as having that kind of parental compassion on this loser. That you can see it. Point is, Jesus Christ, his power means that he can cleanse him. But his compassion means that he wants to. His power means that he's able to, and his compassion moves him to do it. Jesus is unwilling? Yes, it would make him ceremonially unclean. It would be outrageous. Jesus Christ is not unwilling. He is radically and outrageously willing. If you want to, you can heal me. Let's use 21st century language. Jesus, if you want to, I know that you can heal me. You know what Jesus says? Oh, I want to. I want to. Growing up around ERs, I had the rare experience of seeing parents sometimes covered in the blood of their children, people that they love. I remember seeing a man one time who was coming from a wreck, and he was carrying a child. It was a Sunday afternoon. He was carrying a child, and he was covered in blood, and his child was unrecognizably covered in blood. But he didn't care what his clothes looked like. His heart was broken. He didn't care what got onto him. He didn't care what got onto his shirt. He's not thinking about his appearance. He's thinking about this child, and that's what compassion does. Have you ever thought of Jesus like that? He's not stingy. He's not unwilling for you. How often we keep on crying out to him, some of us thinking, surely not me. And we come up with all these exceptions, except, but I'm like this, but I'm like this. But I've done this, I've done that. And you push Jesus away. See, you don't come to him because you think he's unwilling. And you don't lean into him because you don't think he's like a parent that wants to get dirty, that wants to do this. He wants to cleanse us. That's why he came here to do this. It's not an interruption to his plan. It's not an interruption to his plan. Do you see what Mark is saying? This isn't an interruption on my way. He would rebuke the disciples. Of course, he shouldn't be willing because no other rabbi is. But Jesus is different than other rabbis. He touches the man. And what happens? Power explodes because he is God. Immediately. Hey, docs, y'all had a pretty good practice if that happened, wouldn't it? Immediately, the leprosy left this man, and Jesus says to him, go and tell the priest, but don't tell anyone else. Verse 44. Don't tell this to anyone else, but go show yourself to the priest and make the sacrifices that Moses commanded you for cleansing as a testimony to them. And here's what happened. He didn't do anything Jesus told him to do. He totally disobeyed him. Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. Here's the irony. Here's the irony of this story. That Jesus Christ took an outcast, a filthy outcast, and he touched him because he was filled with compassion for him. And he brought that outcast back into his world. Back home, back to worship, back to comfort, back to meaning. But here's what happened. Jesus Christ was sent out to lonely places because he entered into his brokenness. If you don't get that about Jesus, my friends, you haven't gotten Jesus. Good news for the desperate. He is scandalously willing. Do you believe that? Secondly, second lie that many of us believe, and if you don't believe that, then I'm glad. But the second lie that we often believe is that Jesus is unapproachable. Look at Mark 2, verse 1. Look at this guy and his friends, and I said this at the first service, and I won't go on about it, but I think these guys are from Arkansas. I can say that as being from Arkansas. This is like a really Arkansas thing to do, right? Just watch this. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. So many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus. And after digging through it, this is in the middle of a sermon. After digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. I don't care if it's in the first century or the 21st century. This is outrageous. And the reason these men do this outrageous thing, is because they're the only ones that actually get Jesus in this passage. The religious leaders, the ones that are supposed to get it, the disciples, all the people that are supposed to get it, none of them get it. The people that get it are the people that are up the top of the roof and say, shoot, man, dig a hole in it. We're going to dig a hole in the roof. Look, we're going to dig a hole in the roof. He's preaching. It don't matter. He'll like this. You've never met a rabbi like this before. I would be so, that makes me so uncomfortable. I'd be like, let's just wait. I'm sure there'll be refreshments after the get-together. And let's just wait until it's all over, and then we'll go back in, and I'm sure he'll heal us. He'll be willing to heal us. No. If Jesus is the Jesus that I know, he'll want us to do it right now, to dig a hole in the roof. And that's what they do. It says right there, it's right above where Jesus is. It's so packed that people are surrounding them. You can't even get to the doors outside. It's so packed that the only way they can get to him is if he is let down through a hole in the roof right in front of him. That Jesus is literally preaching and teaching. And you know, you could dig a hole in the roof. These houses weren't made of wood. They were made of mud and clay and thatched and things that were put together. It was earth. You could dig a hole in the house. And so they're digging a hole in this house. And imagine, this takes up, it's not like this is a 30-second project here. You can imagine that the, Jesus is teaching about the kingdom of God, and then a few pieces of roof fall on him. Oh, it appears that someone is digging a hole in the roof. This is quite common. No! But look what happens when he's let down. Look at verse 5. This is shocking. This is supposed to shock you. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Your sins are forgiven." You want to be healed? I'll do one even better. Your real problem is your sins need to be forgiven. I'm going to shock all of y'all. I'm going to shock every single one of you. Your sins are forgiven. He sees their faith, and it thrills him. What he's saying here is, they get it. You boys get it. I'm the kind of Savior that doesn't mind to be being interrupted in the middle of my very important sermon, that I don't mind being interrupted the most, that you can dig a hole in the roof. You need to have the kind of destructive passion to be close to me. You get it if you have that. Don't wait. Don't wait for the refreshments. We see Jesus and he's filled with compassion. And now look at him. Folks, look at, think about Jesus. Think about Jesus right now. Here is the one who is the maker of heaven and earth, and he has roof on him. And it makes him happy. You think he's unapproachable? You're wrong. You're wrong. That's a lie. He doesn't chide them. How dare you? Mind your manners. And this is the part of the movie. You know when people cheer at movies? You've been in a movie theater and people cheer at movies and you kind of feel stupid, but you can't help it. It's just so good. Like that part in Rocky and you just, you know, oh, the Italian stallion's going after it. And he knocks the guy down and you just can't help it. And you're just like, oh, I've got to clap. Then everyone says, I need to. Let's all just enjoy this is inanimate object in front of us. But what builds up inside of you is what should be building up inside of you is Jesus is as wonderful and more wonderful than you thought he was. As you see this man who came through a hole in the roof where the light was shining down, and now he's standing in front of sitting in front of Jesus. Jesus heals this man and forgives his sin. We should cheer when we see this man walking out with his bedroll underneath his arm. Say, wake up, you nice southern Christians. Very religious, very appropriate. But are you unapproachable? Because I'm not, Jesus is saying. Have we listened to Satan's description of Jesus? Now, Satan doesn't believe that God is approachable. He doesn't believe that God is willing. Jesus Christ is not unapproachable. He is outrageously approachable. And you know who gets mad about it? The religious people. This man's blaspheming. This man is blaspheming. Someone has been healed, and they're talking about him blaspheming. Jesus said, which is easier? What's an easier thing to do? Tell this man his sins are forgiven, or tell him that he can get up off his mat and go home? He said, so that you'll know that I have authority. So that you'll know that I have authority, get up and walk out of here. Folks, he still has authority to forgive your sins. Have you believed a lie? I have. So what, Richie? So what? What does that mean? First thing, it means that your view of Jesus will shape the way you live. If you think that Jesus is stingy and unwilling, guess what? You probably are too. If you think that Jesus is bitter and cold and detached, you probably are too. But if you think your Savior is the kind of Savior that loves it when people dig holes in roofs, And guess what? You're going to be that kind of, you're going to be that kind of Christian. If you think that Jesus is unwilling to stop with the broken people and with the needy people and the unclean people, if we walk by those people, we think Jesus is walking by them. But if we stop and look and say, Jesus isn't like that, Jesus sees it as a priority to stop. He is filled with compassion. If you see Jesus and believe that Jesus is filled with compassion, then guess what? That will change our priorities as a church. Folks, we spend a lot of our time fighting over secondary issues in churches, tradition, style, and we neglect the people that are crying out for help. Do you know why? Because we have forgotten how willing Jesus really is. If we believe that Jesus is unapproachable, we will be unapproachable. If we're worried about upsetting the status quo, we think Jesus is worried about upsetting the status quo. Folks, if I know one thing about the ministry of Jesus of Nazareth, is that is all the man did. He was at war with the status quo. And they killed him for it. But the one who has authority to forgive sins, guess what? He got up. Can't keep him down. And because you can't keep him down, he's calling us to look at how we keep order sometimes as being something that is more important than seeing people, broken people, brought into the kingdom. And we have confused, we have our priorities out of whack. How can we use this church facility, here's this question, this church facility even, to call in people that are broken? And not just for us, but then also for people to come in here. Why? Because Jesus is approachable. He's outrageously approachable and radically willing. Finally, let me close with this. The number one pastoral problem that I see in my own life and in your lives is that we really don't believe Jesus loves us like this. In here? But in our hearts and day-to-day lives, do you really believe that Jesus is filled with compassion for you? And that he's outrageously approachable for you? Or do you think that you're a lemon? Or as we say, or as I heard said recently, do you think your crow is the blackest? One of my dad's friends back home said, oh, everybody thinks their crow is the blackest. You know what that means? Everybody thinks their problem is just a little bit worse than everybody else's problem. The good news is, you are not a lemon. Your crow is not the blackest. Or as my mother used to tell me, get over yourself. And dig a hole in the roof. And run to Jesus. Or do you think he's sort of like Ed McMahon? You know Ed McMahon. Kids, if you don't know who Ed McMahon is, he was a star back in the 60s and 70s. But he had this thing called the Millionaire Sweepstakes. You remember this? And you'd get it. And when you got the Millionaire Ed McMahon thing, it was like a yellow envelope. She was like, oh, I've got some special mail today. But wait. The first time you get it, you're like, you may have won $1 million. You're like, oh my gosh. And there's a picture of Ed there smiling at you. And then you open it up and there's like this book of things. You did not win $1 million, but if you fill this out, you have a 1 in a trillion chance of winning $1 million. Gotcha! Here's the point. We think Jesus is making all these promises. We're so used to the Ed McMahons that finally you become jaded when you see the envelope come into your house. You're like, Ed, with your hairspray and your big glasses, you're a liar. You make these promises that you don't ever keep. I'm never going to win $1 million. I want you to listen. I don't know what you think about Jesus Christ right now, but I want to tell you something. He means what he says. He is willing to get dirty, to make you clean, and to go to a cross, to die, to cleanse you from all your sins, past, present, and future. And he is wildly approachable for you and for your family and for your friends. Parker, I said this in the first service, I'll say it again. We're installing Parker Tenant. That's why you see all these distinguished gentlemen down here. And Parker, we're so glad you're here. But I want to, and I'm not going to take the charge, but I want to tell you something. And this is for all the ministers. The most important thing that we need to do for this church is to let Jesus love us and to believe that he loves us like this. It's not to be a program director. It's not to make everybody happy. But it is to truly see Jesus and to start destroying those lies that we've had about him. Because when we see him as approachable, when we see him as willing, you will be approachable and you will be willing. People will see Christ through you. That's your number one calling here at IPC, is to show people Jesus who blows up the status quo. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for what you've done. Thank you for coming here. Thank you for being willing. I thank you even for preserving this story several times so that we wouldn't get it in different gospels. And telling the men, write this story down, write these things down. Because people in the 21st century are going to need to know that I want to. They're going to need to know that I want to heal. They're going to need to know that I want to cleanse them because they're not going to believe it. And they're going to need to know that I'm approachable. So include the story about the people digging a hole in the roof. That messy one is the best one because it shows how loving you are. I pray that we would believe it. Lord, forgive us for our false views of you. You are not like us. You are not a Southern religious person. Thank you for loving Southern religious people like us, like me. In your name, amen.